Amen? We can. Not by ourselves now. If we don't go to him, it'll just be all down. But he can help us with that. And some folks get discouraged when everything is not perfect around a church, and they leave going looking for that perfect church. And we've had a few, I'm sure, over the years who left looking for that perfect church. And I've even followed some of them and some of the churches they went to, and they found out the same thing that they went there wasn't there either. Perfection's not there. Perfection's not here. If you come in here looking for perfection, you'll be sadly disappointed because perfection's not here. But I can tell you what you will get here. You'll get a knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll get a knowledge of the Word of God. And the Word of God is the only thing that'll change your life. I can't change your life. I don't care how good a pastor I am or could be or have been. I can't change your life. The only thing I can do is give you the Word of God that can change your life. And as you commit your life to that, you'll be on the right track. Now here in these seven churches, and I guess what I ought to do is read a few verses so that you know where we are. The first seven verses in chapter 2 of Revelation covers a church, and then 8 down to 11 covers a church, and then 12 on down, it's seven verses like at a time, and it covers the churches. The churches we're going to cover today, we're going to cover two churches today, and we'll cover two more next Sunday, and that'll be the seven churches. Now, I'm going to give you an overall of where we've already been, because as I told you last Sunday, this is a description of the conditions of the church in John's day. You say, well, that was 2,000 years ago, right after the death of Christ, that this all took place. It's when this church age started. And you say, well, that doesn't affect us today. Oh, but it does. That's why we're looking at it, because it does affect us. Each characteristic of the churches carries over to the other one. The first three that we've covered, the description of the characteristics of the first church went on to the second church. Then it went on to the third church. Didn't drop any of them. When you get to the third church, you have the same conditions that were in the first two. It all carries over. So we're going to see how that is still true today. It hasn't stopped. Just because this is in the book of Revelation doesn't mean that it's not true today, because it is. And so I'm going to give you some things that the Lord would actually come in here to Liberty Fellowship Church and he would commend you on. Because all these things that I read about in the first three churches, we have here. I see it as your pastor. I see these things in our congregation. And here's what they are. He sees our works. He sees the works of this church. Now, if you're a part of that, that's great. If you haven't made yourself a part of the works in this church, and the works are the things that we do to make this go as well as possible so that we can carry the gospel to others, and that takes in a whole array of things. But he says, I see your works. I see your labor. I see the actual energy that you put into your church. I see the patience that you have with each other. Now, this may be taking fewer than the rest of them. I know how y'all feel about your patience. You say, I'm not patient. That's my downfall is my patience. And that could be. But overall, I think we have learned to be more patient with each other, haven't we? You've certainly increased your patience with me. I hope so. Okay. Come on now. Am I in the fog here? Okay. If I get foggy, let me know I'm foggy, okay? But he says, I notice your works. I notice your labor. I notice your patience. And I notice that you hate evil. And this church hates evil. As a whole, we hate evil. Not going to have anything to do with evil, are we? But now stay with me, because here's what he goes on to say. And I recognize that you're faithful to God in the face of persecution. We've had a few persecutions here in 29 years from neighbors. Yeah. And we have to understand that that's people who doesn't know the Lord. Satan's the one who does it. We don't blame it on the neighbors, okay? We blame it on Satan. He'd like to stir up and get a church going down instead of up, but that's not going to happen. But he said, I recognize your faithfulness in the face of persecution. I recognize that you have wealth in your poverty. There's not too many rich people at our church. Did I say that? I did. That has to do with what you have in your billfold or your bank account or whatever. We don't have folks who are, when I say rich, I use the word filthy. Filthy rich. We all know what filthy is. Filthy rich, right? We don't have a lot of that. Now, you go to some of the bigger churches where there's a lot of business people there, and they're there for different reasons, and I'm not going to get into them. That's not me to say. But you get into these bigger churches, you get into a lot of people who have large wealth. Large wealth. We're not talking about that. But he says, in our poverty, he recognizes our wealth. Now, that should tell us something, that all the time that we think, well, I don't have much, and you have the Lord? Don't ever make that statement again, I don't have much. I'm blessed. Did you know that according to the Bible, anything above bread and water is gravy? It is. Because we're not wealthy because of what we have in our hands. We're wealthy because of what we have in our heart and our soul. Okay? So he says, I recognize your wealth in your poverty. I have recognized that you have not denied the faith. You've not denied it and walked away from it. You've stuck there where you are. Your faith may have been weak and at some times, but you've stayed there and you've committed yourself to that. And he says, I've noticed that you have not denied the faith. Also, I notice that you hold fast to the name of God. I've noticed that you do that and you proclaim God's name wherever you are. Now, he's talking about you. Yeah, he is. But now, do you want to know the rest? Because the rest is a little different story, just like it is with all the churches. He said, but I would say to you, but I have one thing or more against you. Now, this is the problems of the church. The first church had left their first love. Remember that one? They had left their first love. That's very simple. What you received when you repented of your sin of unbelief and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was your first love. You fell in love with the Lord. You fell in love with Him because of what He did for you. And buddy, you let everybody know what He did for you. That was your first love. So I'm saying, the things he said about these churches, is it true with any of us here today? Have we left our first love? Are we not as excited about our soul being saved today as we were the day that he gave us salvation? If we haven't, we've left our first love. We've walked off of it. Oh, we may stay religious. We may stay faithful, because remember all the things that he said about them? This is not a different group of people. These are the same people, the ones he just had a whole lot to say about what they were doing in the church and the ways that they, some of the ways they had. These are the same people. He said, but you've left your first love. You can be religious, but not spiritual. Selah. You can be religious, but not spiritual. God doesn't want to have your religion. He wants your heart and your soul. He wants the inside. He wants whatever you have in this life to be spiritual. And so he says, you've left your first love. And if you're not where you ought to be spiritually, that's exactly what's happened. In other words, what he would say to them is the way we use it here is that you're just backslidden. Now, nobody wants to be told by anybody else that they're backslidden. You either have to tell yourself or God will invite you into that bit of knowledge. Okay? Because I wouldn't want another human being to tell me I'm backslidden. Because no one has that right. But he's saying here that that's actually what had happened. Because you see, you don't backslide from works. You don't backslide from labor. Because when he saved me, he didn't save me from my works or labor. He saved me from my sin. My sin was what was bothering me, what was keeping me out of heaven and taking me to hell, and he saved me from my sin. And so here he says, you're just backslidden, and what's happened is you have a spiritual problem. If you're not happy in the Lord, you have a spiritual problem. If your heart's not glad with your relationship, as we understood in Sunday school, if you have issues there, you have a problem, and you've left your first love. He said, another thing is you hated the evil deed. You hate the evil deeds of people. And we do, don't we? We hate the evil deeds of people. But what he went on to say, but you don't love the people. It's okay to hate evil. And we hate the evil deeds that people do. And we don't have to attach that evil deed with that person. It's not necessary because we just hate the evil deeds. But what he's saying here is you don't love the people. We've got to love the people. Hate the evil, but love the people. Hate what is tearing people's lives apart. And I even mentioned this last week. Alcohol and drugs is destroying what we know as humanity. It is. It's destroying. It's evil. It's a terrible, awful thing. And there are other things that you could attach to that, but I'm just saying that, for instance, is that we hate those things. But I love that alcoholic. I love that drug addict. I can honestly say that I want more than anything for them to get in touch with the Lord who can take away their alcoholism. I want that drug addiction gone. And I know the only one who can do that is the Lord. But he says, don't talk about evil deeds if you don't love those people who have the evil deeds. You can't change their evil deeds. Just love them and try to introduce them to me and I can change those things. This was happening 2,000 years ago, folks. Some of these churches were, as we go, they're farther on up. In fact, today when we get into it, we're all the way into 1600. These all have dates. Every one of these churches have dates when they started, and they started at 96 A.D., and today we're going to be in 1600 A.D., so you can see the amount of time and the churches that have passed through that time. And he says, now here's another thing. I recognize all the good things about you, but I also recognize that you want to bring the world's ways into the church. We have different reasons why we do different things at Liberty Fellowship Church. I'd like to think that we don't do anything worldly just to bring people in so they can feel included in the things of God. I want people to feel included with our congregation. I would like to include. In fact, I would like to introduce hundreds of people to you so that they can get to know you as a congregation. But you see, I'm not the one who includes you on the things that really matter. I can only include you in the things of God. But he's saying here, this church had a problem with bringing worldly things into the church so that they could attract worldly people and not to be a change. That wasn't their reason for doing it. Their reason was just to have more people in the pews. Well, nobody wants to fill the pews more than the preacher. Amen? Yeah, no one. Because I'd love to see, because I know that there's a person who could be sitting on every 14 to 16 inches of pew, we could have a person sitting there. we don't have them all filled yet. Now, we've had some fuller days, but that's where we like to see that, because we want more people in the congregation to hear the Word of God. He said, but what they were doing was just bringing stuff in so that they could bring the world into the church. And they would say, oh, but I got them to church. But if we're going to bring them to church, then the preacher, you can't say anything to the preacher about what he's going to preach. He may just disturb them with the Word of God, and they may not come back. So don't come back and say, well, they wouldn't come back because they didn't like his preaching. I only preach the Word of God. I'm not preaching what Dan thinks or Dan says. That's not it. It's the Word of God. And if the Word of God touches them so much that it drives them out, that's a good thing, by the way. At least he got their attention, and they'll remember that. You can't please everybody, and that's what this church was trying to do, was please everybody. Let's just bring the world in, and we'll just okay their lives. They can live any way they want to, and everything will be okay. That's not what the Word of God says. It's not. And so we have to understand that if we're not careful, and this is one of the reasons for that, if we're not careful, we will start allowing that to happen because we want to fill all the pews. Let's don't do that just to fill the pews. Let's invite folks who don't know the Lord so that their lives can get changed and they can go to heaven. Not that they can come in and feel good about being inside a church. I would like to think we're welcoming here at Liberty Fellowship. And I think some of you are sitting here, you're here because of that today. But we can't just put up with anything so that we please all those that we are trying to get in. Some of these churches, this one last church that we did last week, all they wanted was more programs. Now, are you getting that today? More programs? We want more programs in the church? More programs? Are you with me? Selah. We want more programs? We want a bigger building? I know some, and this is on the preacher. This is not on the laity. Preachers who have gotten so egotistical that the little church at 1011 East Holston wouldn't have been enough for them. They had to buy 40 acres out here of beautiful land and build a $3 million building so that they could attract more people. And by the way, it will. May not attract enough to pay the bills, but you can attract them for sure. And that's what they were doing here. They were building bigger buildings, putting more beautiful stuff in it, more gold and silver and all kinds of tapestry and stuff. And they were doing all this to attract other people, but not to attract them toward Jesus. Bigger buildings don't attract people toward Jesus. The Word of God attracts people toward Jesus. The love in your life for their soul attracts people toward Jesus. It's all an inward thing. It's not an outward thing. But they were all about the outward. They just wanted the big, big fine buildings and more money and more programs. We have some nice programs here, if you want to call them programs. We have Sunday school. That's a good program for your children or adults. Very good program. You have for the adults, you have one of the best Sunday school teachers in this country. And I'm not just talking, you say, well, I don't like his style. It doesn't matter if you like his style. He's one of the best Sunday school teachers in this country. He studies day after day after day to be ready to fill this room with God's Word on a Sunday morning. I can assure you of that. I know that firsthand. He's actually got more brains than I have. That wouldn't take a whole lot, but he does. I just want to lead people to the Lord. And he does too. But here's where the problems were. Now, those are just the things from the first three churches. Could I give you the next two? You say, well, I thought you'd already preached. Nope. Got to put up with me now. Because now we're at the church of Thyatira. That's where we are now. Now, this was the woman church. I got some of your attention. I could tell your heads popped up. If you've ever been around churches very much, you know that in some churches there are women problems. Will, calm it down. Now, I'm getting your attention, but I'm going to explain myself here in a minute, okay? Some of you say, oh, I know a church where the women try to run it. I know a church. And you say, yeah, I know that. Well, when he brought this in of Thyatira, he mentioned a woman. Who was it? Oh, yeah. Y'all remember Jezebel? Well, we understand that this was not the Jezebel of the Old Testament, okay? So there's got to be a reason why he used the word Jezebel. Now, there might have been a Jezebel in this church that in Thyatira. Could have been. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It could be there's a Jezebel at Liberty Fellowship Church. It could be that there's a Jezebel in every church. I don't know. It's not important that we know that. But what he is here doing, whether there was a woman here named Jezebel or not in this congregation, what he did was he related it to the Jezebel of the Old Testament. And in doing that, he was saying that she had a bad influence on the church. She did. And it's possible that there's a woman who could have a bad influence on the church here at Liberty Fellowship or any other church, that she would seduce or murder. You know, there's different ways to murder somebody than shoot them or stab them, you know, kill them. Bible says so anyway. It says there's ways you can kill people. But her ways were devoted to Satan's ways. They weren't devoted to God's ways. And that's where this Thyatira was. And using the word Jezebel, now I'd like to get you away from the Jezebelism. Because every one of you are wondering, oh, who in the world? Not talking about a woman. Even though he used that phrase. The phraseology of Jezebel is about a system. It's a system. And it was the system because when you look back on the dates of the Thyatira church, you find that the papal church, the Catholic movement, was moving in. It was. And see, what they were bringing in wasn't good. And by the way, the papal church was known as a she. So we're not talking about a literal woman. We're talking about a system. We're talking about a system that it could murder others, could destroy others, could seduce others. We're talking about a system. And when the papal church came in, that's exactly what it tried to do. It tried to seduce people by bringing in idols. You see, Satan's pretty smart. He's pretty smart. He knows how we are made up. He knows that we'd like to have something we could see, that we could literally see, that we could literally touch, feel. That's the way human beings are made up. That's the way we would be. But you see, the Lord said, I'm a spirit and I seek such to worship me. You're not going to see me as a large idol out here in front of Liberty Fellowship Church. I could go out here to one of these concrete makers and make me a huge, let's say an angel, okay? A huge angel, 10 feet tall, 6 foot wingspans, and I could put that angel right out here in front, if the city would let me, and I could put this big angel right out here in front of the church, and it would attract so much attention. People would drive by just to see that 10 foot tall angel with 6 foot wingspans. And they would even say, man, I'd like to go there. Well, there won't be one put out in the front, okay? But that's exactly what this church of Thyatira was doing. They were doing all this to seduce people to come in and get them away from the Word of God. And that's what anything other than the Word of God is a ploy of Satan to get you away from the Word of God. And it's to get you to believe in stuff you can see, feel, and touch. It doesn't work. They introduced all these images and all these pictures and stuff for people to come in and worship and bow to. I'm going to ask you to bow to the Word of God. That's really where we need to bow, folks. Because the Word of God is the power of God. And it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that will believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. They taught the teachings of the church were more important than the Word of God. We've been there before, right? If you've been here with all these churches, you know we've touched on that. And that's what the papal church did. They had a system. It was a system. And that system was more important than what God had to say. Oh, it was religious. And folks, if folks can just be religious, they can assure themselves that they're okay if they can just be religious. But it's not gonna fly with God. He don't want your religion, as I said before. He doesn't want that. He wants your heart and your soul. He wants you to commit yourself to the Word of God and to other people in trying to win them to the Lord. So they introduced something that I don't understand the whole of the Mass. I've never been to Mass. Maybe some of you are former Catholics, I don't know, but maybe you've been to Mass. You know, if you talk to a Catholic person, they'll say, I went to Mass. And I don't totally understand Mass. Maybe I should go do a little bit more studying on that. But this was introduced back then. And it was introduced apart from just worshiping the God of the Bible. It introduced their system. It was part of that program, that system that they introduced. So they introduced this. And this was, by the way, if you want to go back to the dates, it started at 606 A.D. and went on to 1520 A.D. That was this Thyatira church that introduced these things. You say, well, do these things have anything to do with us? And I ask you, Selah. Selah. Think about it. Think about the same things that we see in us, because we do see these things, whether we want to admit it or not, and we don't have all the statues and stuff sitting around in our building. There are things in which we put before the power of the Word of God, folks, because it's a part of our system, our way of doing things. It's good to have organization. But we need to understand that the Christian life is an organism. It is a life. It is alive. Statues are dead. Anything other than a life in Jesus Christ is dead. And that brings us to the next church. The Church of Sardis. Okay, everybody take a deep breath. Yawn. You know the reason you yawn, don't you? To get oxygen in your system to open your eyeballs just a little bit more. Everybody happy to be here? Are you happy to know what you are that God's pleased with and what you are that God's not pleased with? We ought to know the whole story, and we're learning it from here. These seven churches tell us a whole lot about us, not just then, but right now. So let's look at Sardis, because this is a time that you are more familiar with. How many of y'all have heard of the Reformation? This is when Martin Luther nailed the 96 Theses on the door. He had had enough. He had had enough of all the statues and all the programs and all the seducing of people and getting them away from the Word of God. He'd had enough of that, so there came the Reformation. And reforming sounds good, except God's more into more than reforming. He don't want you just to reform. There is a reforming of a life when you accept Christ as your Savior, but there are folks who just believe that all they have to do is reform. If I just quit this, if I just do this, I'm reforming myself to be what I'll look good at. But that's not what God's interested in. But here in the Reformation period, and I thank God for old Martin Luther attaching that, because it was time to put an end to that, and God knew that. So knowing that God did it, I'm fine with it, aren't you? But here's what we had in Sardis, the church of Sardis. Even though he got rid of a bunch of this stuff, by the way, he says, you're a church that's supposed to be alive, but you're dead. That's what he said about them. And these were folks who reformed. They reformed from the idols and the statues and stuff. They reformed to this, trying to get back toward the Word of God, but didn't go far enough, because what happened was, when you read that history, it was more political than religious. It certainly wasn't spiritual. So if you wanted to say it was more political than spiritual, you would be totally right if you did that. So what he did was, he got them into a formalistic way of worship, away from the idols, but formalistic in way we do. And we have to be careful here, because, folks, we can be formalistic. Can we? We can. And I try my best. I want organization, but I don't want to be formalistic. In other words, if you, in this congregation, you ever have a song to sing and you want to get up and sing it, you let us know you want to sing it. You'll sing it. You have a word of encouragement to the folks, you do that. This is a worship service for all of us. This is not my worship service. My obligation is to give you the Word of God. We praise Him. And by the way, in Sunday school or here in all of this, we should be thanking God that He so warned us to be what we can be and what we ought not to be. We ought to praise Him for it. Because we don't have enough about us to do our own lives. We got to have Him. And he's showing us where they were. So they were formalistic. They were a dead church. They even used rituals the same way, which we can have rituals too. That just means you do the same things over and over and over and over. And I don't want to do that, do you? When I bring you the Word of God, I don't think I have ever preached the same message twice. Have I had the elements in all of them? I hope so. Because the Word of God is the Word of God from beginning to end. And I may preach on a subject that you say, well, I've heard that one, Dan. You might have. But it wasn't the same. I can assure you of that. Because when God gives it to me, I grow too, just like you. I grow in my knowledge of the Word of God. And as I grow, I looked at a message that I preached 35 years ago, and I thought, how simple. I don't want to lose that simplicity. I want to keep that simplicity. But what I have learned in 35 years, I would like to put into that simplistic message and keep it down where the calf can get to it. It's a good old phrase. Just keep it down to where the calf can get to it and preach that same message. So what they did was, they come in and they brought this formalistic, ritualistic way of worship. Got away from some, but they didn't go in the right direction. They had what the Bible says, they had a form of godliness. They had a form of godliness, but what is the rest of that? Say it. But denying the power. You could come in here and say, that was a beautiful service. I don't want it to be a beautiful service. I want it to be a powerful service where that your heart was touched, not your entertaining mind, but where your heart and soul was touched. I want your eternal part touched. I don't want your temporal part touched. Thank you, Lord. Boy, he's preaching me like a young man, ain't he? It's good stuff, folks. It's good whether it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or today, it's the same stuff. And for the church of Sardis, it was the same then, it's the same now. But here's what happened. They released the scriptures, the holy Word of God. The doctrine that he presented when he nailed his thesis on the door was justification by faith. Great. Great. And we believe in justification by faith. That's where we are too. And I'd like for you to know that's one thing God looks down on this congregation of people, and he understands that that's what we teach and what we preach, justification by faith. Justification is just as if I'd justified. Just as if I'd is a good way to remember this. Never sinned. Justified, being justified before God is as though you had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. And that was, I was so happy that he brought in justification by faith. But bless his heart, he didn't go where he needed to go, so God had to keep on moving through the churches. He took away some of the ritualistics. He took away some of the doctrinal rubbish that was in that day and time. But he failed, and here was the part that he failed in, and this is where we have the most fun. Can I say fun? Is that we remember that there is going to be a second coming. He's coming again. He's coming back for his church. He came the first time, and we'll be saying a lot about that in the next few weeks, how he came, was born in a manger in Bethlehem, but he's coming again. And for the church of God, this should have been the most important thing. But when old Martin Luther got into this, and if you were in a Lutheran church today, you would find out that a lot of the things that he wanted are simply not there today. But he failed to recover this promise of the second coming. He just didn't bring it out. And I hate that he did that. He turned them from God. He turned from God to idols, or turned them from their idols to God. But he still didn't go on to the Son of God, who would be the instrument to take them to heaven. And he didn't tell them that he's coming back for them. He didn't tell them there would be a rapture of the church. He would take the church out and take them home for eternity. He missed that part. Man, aren't you glad that we now have that part? We have a lot of good, but we also have a lot of bad in the church. But you see, this is the local church. The church that I'm preaching to you about is the church of the living God, where you have members of this church, the real church. You have them in the church right down here, down the street here at Unique Avenue Baptist, the Christian church right the next one there to it, Watauga Avenue Baptist Church, Central Baptist Church, Muncie, Zion Baptist. I'm just naming churches that are within walking distance right here. Churches everywhere. We're not talking about the local church. We're talking about the church that you joined when you committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have joined a church, a local church after that, but the church that you joined when you believed for your salvation, that's the one. So if you're lost today, there's nothing better you could do than to say, God, forgive me, a sinner, save me, commit your life to him, and know that one of these days you're going to leave this old world, and when you leave here, you want to leave here right. You want to get right. Stay right, die right. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're thankful. We're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that you have given us the power of your word to change our lives here today. And we just praise you for what you're going to do, what you've already done in the hearts of people here today. And we're going to praise you for what you're going to do right now in this time of decision. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and we're going to sing a song. 81, you know the song. You might not even need a book. This is a good old invitational song. We've sang it for years. Let's sing it one more time and listen to it. Think about what it says. Would you do that? Baby.